Right. So we're going on our journey of trying to appreciate what the Messianic era is going to be like, or we had spoken about a couple weeks ago about the when it is that we'll be worthy for Mashiach to come. Why is it that we are so anticipating Mashiach's arrival? How will we know that we are worthy of Mashiach to come? And last week we discussed what Mashiach is going to mean, not only for the Jewish people, but for the but for all of humanity, for the entire world. Tonight, I want to examine the question of what will the Messianic era look like? And again, almost all the topics moving forward, we touched on some level during that introductory survey, that first night a couple weeks ago. So we kind of touched on this, which if we recall, the Rambam said, you know, basically it's going to be normal. It's essentially going to be like normal life, except we're going to have this clarity that creates this overwhelming goodness and the happiness and tranquility that we will experience, being that we have this clarity and insight to God and to the Torah and its wisdom. But tonight I want to re-examine that question of what will the Messianic era look like? Are perhaps there are maybe other presentations of maybe it will even physically seem different during the Messianic era. So the first question I want to deal with is, well, will there be things like poverty and war? Meaning like humanity look different? So this is a discussion that's already had in the Gemara, where the Talmud writes towards the end of Masechta Shabbos a statement it brings down in the name of Shmuel. It also comes up a couple other places in Shas toward the end of Masechta Brachos. But the Gemara tells us the following. The Gemara says, "De'amar Shmuel." Shmuel writes the following: "Ein bein ha'olam hazeh." There's going to be no difference, no practical difference between the world we're currently living and are experiencing, liyamos haMashiach, to that of the Messianic era. All intents and purposes is going to be exactly the same. Allah, what's going to be the only difference? Shibud Malchus Bilvad, that the Jewish people are a subject to other governments, that we are no longer going to be subject to other governments, to tyranny, to communism, to socialism, to constitutional law, democratic systems. We're not going to have to answer to any other systems of law because everything's going to be governed by the Torah. So that's going to be the only practical difference. The rest of life, though, is going to be exactly the same, which would mean then if we take what Shmuel just told us across the board, that would mean that there's still, unfortunately, going to be people in poverty. In fact, that's his source text to this perspective, where he quotes from the pasuk. That the pasuk tells us in Parshas Re'eh, I believe, that the Torah says that in the Messianic era we are going to be much more compassionate to those that are in need, which means that there are going to be those that are in need during the Messianic era. That's the basic way that Shmuel understood that pasuk, at least, which means that Shmuel is basically saying that humanity is going to essentially be the same thing. There's going to still be wars. There's going to be countries that are at odds with one another during the Messianic era. The only thing is going to be that hopefully the world is being governed by the Torah, and therefore we are not going to be subject to any other rule of law. Now, not everyone agrees with this. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan says that in fact there will be no more war. He writes that this is a explicit verse in the Navi Yeshaya. The Navi Yeshaya, again talking about the Messianic era, writes the chititu harvosam, that they will beat their swords le'itim. That they'll beat their swords into plowshares, meaning that the swords are going to be meaningless. They're going to utilize the metal for something else. And their spears are going to become hooks. Lo yisa goy el goy, that other nations will not be picking up a sword to fight against one another. Velo yilmedu, oh, milchama. No one is going to be preparing for war anymore, meaning that there's not going to be any war. There's going to be world peace. There's going to be actual world peace, right? It's not only going to be the dreams of every politician that they're going to be bringing world peace, but mamish. When Mashiach comes, according to the Navi Yeshaya, it sounds like the Navi Yeshaya, is there going to be world peace? Now, Shmuel obviously is taking his source text and saying that mine is basically overriding that. I'm saying that you read my pasuk, it seems to indicate that life is going to be normal. But the Navi Yeshaya is indicating that, no, people are not going to be at odds with each other. There's one other opinion, that of Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says in the Gemara that another difference that's going to take place in the Messianic era, not only there's going to be a difference in humanity, that there's going to be no poverty and no war, but in addition to that, of course, we're not going to be subject to other governments. But not only that, but people are not going to have a Yetzirah anymore. We're not going to have a will and desire to do the wrong thing. Always going to do the right thing. Not even going to be challenged with doing the wrong thing. Not going to be this pull of or habitual pull to do something based off of a taiva of desire. But things are going to be very clear cut for us. We're not even going to be challenged to do the wrong thing. So you have over here these kind of three levels found in found amongst the sages of either it's going to be that life is going to be completely normal, and really the only difference is that is only a very positive one, that we're not going to be subject to any other bodies of law, only to the Torah. The second is that not only is it that we're going to be governed only by the Torah, but in addition to that, we will also not only are we going to only be governed by the Torah, but we also are not going to have war and poverty. And number three is that of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, which is saying that not only that, are there going to be this these issues of humanity that are going to be different, but also within ourselves, we're not going to be challenged with our Yetzirah. So what do we do with all these different opinions? So the Rambam seems to take a stance on this. Yeah.
Prosperity and so forth. Is this mainly affecting the Jewish people? In other words, you wouldn't think there, if all of humanity had this clarity, then you wouldn't think there would be wars and stuff. And so, how does that fit in?
Right. So how does that fit in? So here's the way that the Rambam presents it, where the Rambam says the following. He says, Al yale al halev, that one should not assume that what's going to happen, and someone should not create this fantasy in their mind, should be a Mosa Mashiach, that during the Messianic era, Yivatol Davar Mimin Hago Shel Olam, that there's going to be differences in nature, for example, right? Things are going to function according to the way that they've always functioned. Oyesh Sham Chidish B'Maisa Bereshis, that things are going to change in the fabric of nature. Ella Olam Kimin Hago Noeg, rather the world is going to continue to exist like the world continues to exist. By the way, having a Yetzirah, you can argue, is something that is physiological, right? The Torah itself says, but Parshas Noach, Yetzir Lev HaAdam, Ra Min Urav, that we have desire to do the wrong thing from the time that we're children. Hopefully we have desire to do the right thing also, but there's a part of us that desires to do the wrong thing, which exists from adolescence, from infancy. And the Rambam says, and we mentioned this last week, that when the Navi Yeshaya says that the wolf will sleep with the sheep and the lion with the with the lamb, with the goats, right? Whatever it might be, they're not going to have lunch. They're going to be with together. Zesh and Amar Yeshaya, v'gar ze'ev in keves, that a lamb is going to live with the wolf. V'nemer in gedi, and that the leopard or the lion is going to live with the gedi, the goat. He says that's just a mushel. That's just a parable. That's not supposed to be taken literally. It's supposed to be taken metaphorically. In Hinadavar, Shi Yisrael Yoshvim Avetach. Rather, what it means is that the Jewish people are going to live in sovereignty, and we're not going to have troubles from the other nations. That's all that it means. And rather, it's the Yichzeru Kulam Ledas HaEmes. We're all going to have an understanding of what is true and false. Now, and then he continues on.
Lee just sent me a text, and she's, I think, trying to get into the class.
Let me let her in. Thank you so much. No. Okay. So let's continue to see what the Rambam continues. One second, Marty. So the Rambam continues over here and says, Amru Chachamim, that this is what our rabbis meant, that Ein Bein Ha'olam Hazeh L'Yemos HaMashiach. There's no difference between the world we're currently experiencing to that of the Messianic era, Ela Shibun Malchus Bovad, except for what is going to be our governing body, which is going to be that of the Torah. And that's going to be the only difference. Now, we'll, as Nora pointed out, that we're going to have a perspective on what's true and false, but it doesn't mean that it's going to be the only option in our mind. The other options are going to exist, meaning we'll still have a Yetzer Hara, we'll still be perhaps inclined or have desire to do the wrong thing. It will just be clearer to us what the right thing to do is. Doesn't mean that there still won't be this primal pull toward the wrong thing. So that is that's the Rambam's perspective. The Ramban though takes the other approach. The Ramban takes the approach in the opposite extreme.
Where's Rambam writing that?
Mishneh Torah. Actually, the very last page in Mishneh Torah is where he's writing it. So it's easy to find. If you wanted to see the Rambam's whole entry on what the Messianic era looks like, just go on Safaria and just literally go to the very last entry of Maimonides' work, the Mishneh Torah, on Safaria, where it has the English Hebrew. I'm assuming they have that on the website, the Rambam. And you can go and you could read through what the Rambam with the Rambam's perspective, what the Messianic era is going to look like. So that's the Rambam's point of view. Again, Rambam, rationalist, is taking the approach of that it's not going to be anything that looks or feels, that looks any different, that there's not going to be really any practical differences, except for the fact that, which is a major practical difference, that the Jewish people and the rest of the world are going to hopefully be governed under the Torah. The Jewish people definitely will be governed under the Torah. We're going to have this clarity and insight as to, it's clear to us what the right thing to do is, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we are forced to act that way. Now, it affects non-Jews that for the other nations in the world, it also will be clear as to... It'll be clear that there are no other powers except for God, that the Torah was divinely not inspired, but divinely written and authored by God, and therefore is the guide for not only the Jewish people, but for everyone. That doesn't mean that we follow the 613 commandments. It means we follow that which the Torah commands us to follow and get guidance from the rest of the book as to what values and ethics we should be adhering to.
Would this clarity affect anti-Semitism?
Presumably it would. That I think would be part of it. Now, that doesn't mean, right, the Rambam's perspective is that presumably it would, but not definitely, right? There could, according to the Rambam, still theoretically be anti-Semitism, wars, poverty, Yetzer Hara.
Different countries, but there is theoretically some kind of overriding.
There is this overriding guide of ethics and morality, but there could very well be. Again, they're going to be few and far between. Their impact is going to be much, much less because they're going to be smaller in numbers. But there will be those people. I think we even read the very end of the book of Yeshaya, Perek Samach Vav, the very, very end of the book, talks about these disgusting individuals that will not be able to survive the Messianic era. I think it's basically talking about, I think the Radak says over there, it's talking about these kinds of people that are not going to get around to the seeing the Torah as the ultimate guide, they're still going to be those people that are standing up against the Jewish people or against the Torah, but they're just not going to survive. They're not going to survive in numbers. They're going to get squashed or maybe even killed by everyone else in the world that clearly sees what the right thing is, right? So one could even point out from that Navi Yeshaya, that, or at least the way the Radak understood that line at the end of the Navi, that the fact that those people will still exist in the world means that there isn't going to be this change in people's nature. It's just that anyone who's a thinking person, it's going to be more obvious to them what the right thing to do is. Now, the Ramban, as we mentioned, Nachmanides, 1194 to 1270, takes a different approach to the Rambam. In fact, he even has a drasha. I'm not going to be reading from his drasha. I'm going to be reading from his commentary on the Torah. But he even has a drasha where he cites this opinion of the Rambam. And basically, he says, like he does in a number of different places, the Ramban, that you, Maimonides, you're being too much of a rationalist. Now, the Ramban, Nachmanides, perhaps the greatest Jewish philosopher to ever live, you could argue such a thing. He, in a number of different places, takes up issue with the Rambam, in that the Rambam was too much of a rationalist, that there are certain things that are that can only be explained through the lens of Kabbalah and mysticism and things that are beyond our own simple comprehension, because we don't yet live in that in that environment of what Mashiach is going to look like. And therefore, the Ramban will take the Torah and the Nevi'im much more literally and espouse his positions from a much more literal standpoint from reading the Torah, even if we don't fully understand or comprehend or appreciate what that's going to look like. But nevertheless, it's something that is explicit in the Torah or explicit in the Nevi'im, and we believe that this is the way it's going to be. So he's taking things a lot more literally. So this is an example of that. The Ramban is commenting over here, again, in the place in the Torah, in Parshas Nitzavim, toward the end of the five books. Toward the end of the five books, the Ramban is commenting where the Torah is talking about what the Messianic era is going to look like. And one of the descriptions of Mashiach is going to be that Hashem says, Umal Hashem Elokecha Eslevavcha Veeslevavzaracha, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people that during the days of Mashiach, Hashem is going to remove the foreskin of our hearts from ourselves and from our offspring, meaning to say that we're going to go through a teshuva process. And we'd spoken about what the teshuva process, a few weeks ago, we spoke about what the teshuva process is going to look like in leading up to Mashiach's arrival. The Rambam says that it's going to be something that we go through on our own, by our own fruition. The Ramban is saying that it could be that Hashem is going to make us do teshuva. Now, exactly what that means is really unclear, because that means that it can't practically be teshuva because we're not doing it from our free will. We explained at the time, perhaps that means that God is just going to be setting up an environment that's going to make teshuva a lot easier. But nevertheless, this is one of those places that the Ramban makes that point. And then he continues on in this entry in his commentary on the Torah. He continues on to explain what the Messianic era is going to look like. So this is what he writes. He says, Mal Hashem Elokecha Eslevavcha, God is going to remove the foreskins of our heart. What does that mean? He says, Mavtichecha Sheteshuv Elav, that the Torah is guaranteeing us that we are going to do teshuvah, B'chol Levavcha, with all our heart, V'hu Yazor Otcha, and God is going to help us in that process. V'nira minaksuvim inyan ze she'omer, and we can learn from what the psukim are telling us here, what the Torah is outlining for us, that God is going to remove, quote unquote, the foreskins of our heart, meaning that he's going to remove the barriers of entry to him, to his ways, to the Torah. That means, he says, ki mizman habriya, that from the moment of creation, Haisa Rashus Biada Adam. A person had a choice. They can choose. We've had free will from the moment of creation. La'asos kirtsono, whether we are going to choose to be a tzaddik or a rasha, to be righteous or to be wicked. And that's something that existed from the moment of creation. Free will. V'chol zman ha-Torah came. And throughout the time of the Torah, this has been the case. Kedei shiyeh lahem zechus b'bchirasam b'tova onesh b'rtzonam b'ra. So that way, we can have another one of the fundamentals of belief, reward and punishment. As that's something we mentioned, we asked the question, this is going back probably a year and a half to when we had our classes on free will. And one of the questions we had brought up at the time, which is that in the Rambam's list of the 13 principles of faith, free will is not mentioned. So one of the answers we gave from the Abarbanel is that, what do you mean? Of course it is. It is the overarching fundamental principle that all the other principles stem from. For example, schar ve'onesh, reward and punishment. You can't have reward and punishment without free will by definition. So this is what the Ramban is also saying. He's saying that from the moment of creation, from the moment that God created man, we've had free will, and that's why we've been able to function in this method or in this principle of reward and punishment. Aval, however, and this is the key line, liyamod ha-Mashiach, during the Messianic era, tiyeh ha-bechira betov lahem teva, that our nature is going to be only good. Essentially, no more free will. The choice between doing the right thing versus the wrong thing.
Like an angel.
Not going to have it. We're going to be like angels. Basically, what the Ramban is describing, that aspect of us, which basically, according to a number of Rishonim, we had mentioned this in the past, I believe even the Ramban himself, defines what does it mean that we are created B'Tselem Elohim, in the image of God. Fairly certain it was the Ramban. Maybe it was the Sfarno. I'll have to look back. But what does that mean to be created in the image of God? It means we're created with free will. We're created with the ability to choose between doing the right thing or the wrong thing. I know this is heavily discussed as well in the Nefesh HaChaim of Chaim Volozhin. That was what I mean, that God had put inside of us this ability to choose to do the right thing and override our desire to do the wrong thing. But as Jack is pointing out, what the Ramban is telling us is that during the Messianic era, we're going to be angels in human form, basically. We're not going to have the will to do the wrong thing at all. We're only going to want to do the right thing, which means there's not going to be wars.
We're not going to be godlike. If being part of being Zelim al-King was having free will, then you're not like that anymore.
I don't know what happens to our Zelim al-King. I don't know. I'm assuming then there's probably no poverty, because so much of poverty stems from the fact that we have to make decisions of how to spend our money. And it could very well be that the desire for additional money, for more than what we need, is not going to exist, because we're not going to have those desires anymore, which means that probably poverty will go away. Everything's going to be so different. The way that the world functions is going to be completely different. What exactly it means, I have no idea. What exactly it's going to look like, why that, like, I don't know. I don't even know how life works without free will, right? So this is a great example, fantastic example of where the Ramban and the Rambam differ, where the Rambam, more often than not, will present what the Torah tells us from a completely rational perspective. And the Ramban is saying, I'm not going to deviate from the basic understanding of the Psukim. And the basic understanding of Psukim is, that Hashem is going to remove this foreskin from our heart, meaning our desire to do the wrong thing is going to be removed. That's just a basic reading of the Psukim. That's what the Ramban is saying. We're not going to have desires of the heart anymore. Things that we don't need, things that are not in the will of God, I don't even care about them. Not even in the framework of my mind. Don't even consider them. That is really fascinating. That's really, really fascinating. So we have right here, we have these two approaches as to what are humans going to be like in the Messianic era.
Exactly.
I mean, this. So basically, we have over here is like these two presentations that are so vastly different as to what humans are going to be like in the Messianic era. You have the Rambam, which is basically saying normal, unchanging. We'll have access to more wisdom and have more clarity, which in turn is going to encourage us more often than not to do the right thing. But essentially, the world is going to function as normal, except for the fact that everyone's going to recognize Hashem in the Torah. On the other hand, you have the Ramban saying that no, humans are going to be completely different. We are losing essentially losing free will. We're only going to do the right thing. We're only going to do the right thing. We're not even going to enter into our minds doing the wrong thing. I want to get to another question related to this, which is not how are humans going to behave in the Messianic era, but will there be any, you know, miracles, if you will? Are there going to be these changes to nature that are going to take place in the world to come? Like we mentioned before in the Rambam, right? According to the Rambam, again, it's going to be an easy answer. The answer is no. As the Rambam said before, even what the Navi says, that the wolf is going to live with the lamb and the leopard's going to live with the goat. That's all a mushel. It's just supposed to be read metaphorically. It's really a mushel, a metaphor for the Jewish people and the other nations in the world. We're going to see that the Ramban, again, has this different perspective where who says that that's a mushel? Who says that's supposed to be read metaphorically? No. The world is going to live in this harmony. And therefore, the circle of life of that's described in the Lion King of, you know, the lions and chasing down the gazelle, but we need the gazelle, right? All that's just going to end. We're not going to experience these things anymore. I'll give you another example. The Torah talks about, again, when describing Messianic era a little bit earlier in Parsha B'Kosai, where the Torah is discussing the rewards and punishments. So it's discussing the rewards that the Jewish people will receive for following the ways of the Torah. Part of that is the redemption and described on sub-level what the redemption is going to look like. And then it says, "In the chukosai tim asu," if we disgrace the ways of the Torah, and then the Torah has its whole list of all the negative things that, God forbid, can happen to the Jewish people if we stray away from the Torah. So in that context, the Torah tells us all of the non-domesticated animals are going to leave the land of Israel. All non-domesticated animals are going to leave the land of Israel, meaning that we're not going to have to deal with any wild animals in the land of Israel. We're not going to be bothered, not only the cat issue in Israel, right? Not only just all the stray cats, but we're not going to have to deal with, I don't know if there were any mountain lions in Israel, any of these non-domesticated wild animals, not going to be an issue in the land of Israel. Meaning, snakes, rattlesnakes. My dad remembers growing up with scorpions. And my dad used to take empty mayonnaise jars and capture scorpions. And my grandmother used to get all upset at him when she'd find them in his room, all these scorpions, all that, right? I wonder how I'd react.
The only animals will be Tom.
Be these domesticated animals are going to be the... right? So that's very interesting. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's start with the Rambam. So as we mentioned before, the Rambam said that the only difference is going to be the what body of law or government the Jewish people are going to be subjugated to. But Which is going to be just the Torah. And the rest of life is going to be normal, except people are going to have this clarity. And that's really the Rambam's only description of what the Messianic era is going to look like. In fact, he writes in the Mor Nevuchim, his Guide for the Perplexed, that he wrote toward the end of his life. I think he published it in 1190. And Rambam passed away in 1204. So just just over a decade before he died, the Rambam writes this book in philosophy, again, presenting this very rationalistic perspective on Judaism. And he says, with regards to the nature of the world changing during the Messianic era, he says, Kfar Hisker Gam Shlomo. Shlomo Melch already tells us that once God set nature into motion, meaning when God created the world, he created a perfect world, and therefore it's going to be unchanging. Ma'asei Hashem, Halalu, that the creations of God are praised. Kolomar, to say the following, Ha'olam v'chol asher bo, the world and everything that inhabits the world, Omdim k'vitivam la'olam, stay within the nature they were created with forever. V'af api shehem asuyim, and despite that, the fact that they were created. Amar ki kol asher yaseh elokim hu yela olam. Anything that God made will be like that forever. Ein lahosif umimenu ein legroa. We shouldn't. There's nothing that's going to be added on to nature. There's something that's going to be taken away from nature. That's what Shlomo Melch writes in the third chapter of Koheles. That the way that God created the world was perfect. Nothing is going to be added on. Nothing's going to be taken away. The Rambam goes on to explain, why is it that that God wouldn't add on anything to nature, right? Once he created the world, right? Torah tells us, that God reviewed everything that he saw and saw that it was very good at the end of creating man. That means that God thought that the nature he created was perfect. It was a perfect universe he created. Adding anything to that actually shows a deficiency, says the Rambam. If anything were to change, even if it was quote unquote an improvement, what looks like to us is an improvement, right? The wolves lying next to the lambs, right? It seems to be an improvement, but in reality, the Rambam says that that actually would suggest that what existed before wasn't perfect. If things were going to change, even if to us it looks like it's a positive change, that means it wasn't perfect the way it was before. That's what he writes. Now, humans should change themselves towards perfection. But the way that nature works, it's not work based on free choice, free will. Animals don't make decisions between right and wrong. They are designed to act from a primitive nature, from a primitive perspective. Lions don't have these other motivating factors of morality and ethics and morals. This just doesn't apply to animals. So anything related to nature, if it's to change, that means whatever was before wasn't perfect. And the Rambam continues and he says, "Ki'ilu yomer shadavar asher yishtane," that is to suggest that the thing that is changing now, "Einem yishtane ela machmas chisaron," is only changing due to the fact that it was lacking something. That now needs to be rectified. It needs to be fixed. God forbid, right? God is perfect. You're adding on something that's unnecessary. The Az to Sotara Sosefet. Now the thing that is being added is essentially taking away from the way nature was. Like there's a halacha. It's very interesting. There's a halacha in the laws of kosher and non-kosher animals as to what, let's say you have a kosher species, take a chicken, for example. The chicken, let's say, has an extra leg. The chicken doesn't have, just is not hopping around on two, it's hopping around on three. Is that kosher? Said otherwise completely healthy chicken. Is that kosher? Is that chicken a kosher chicken? The answer is no. It is a treif chicken. Because of the fact that it has its extra leg, the Rambam's language is mosif goreya. That the addition shows that it's imperfect. A perfect chicken is one that hops along on two legs. That's what a perfect chicken is. Not one that hops along on three legs. So the Rambam is essentially applying this to the way nature is in general. The way that God made it is absolutely perfect. If it were to change in its nature by any sort of way, it's showing that the way it was in the past was not perfect. And that can't be. That's against our fundamental belief system. The Ramban takes issue again with this, and again pointing to the same, and the Rambam, by the way, has a whole list of different psukim that show exactly this point. Exactly this point. It points to psukim in Koheles, in the Torah, in Sefer Tehillim, a few places, Sefer Yirmiyahu, as we just read from Koheles, Shlomo Malach, many different places. The Rambam points to these similar verses, saying that the way God created the world at the time of Bereishis is going to be unchanging. Now, the Rambam also would tell us, not only is it that it's going to be unchanging, because that would suggest that it wasn't perfect, but again, his point is that it shouldn't matter, because that's not what the Messianic era is about. As the Rambam, again, doubling down on what he said, that it's just all a mushel, all it's just a metaphor, that these natural differences that are going to take place in the Messianic era. To review what the Rambam told us, is really what it is that we are most looking forward to the Messianic era has nothing to do with those other factors. That's what he wrote. He said, "Lonis Abu Chachamim." That what was exciting to the prophets and to the Chachamim about the Messianic era were not things like Kadesh Shiyishu to Akol Olam, in order that Torah is governing the entire world. Below Kadesh Shiyishu Ba'akom, and not so that we're not subject anymore to threats of the non-Jews. Those are just going to be things that are a byproduct of what is really exciting about Mashiach, which is Kidei Shiyu Panuyim B'Torah B'Chachmasa, in order that the world has this clear understanding of the Torah and its wisdom. And that is the thing that's most exciting about the Messianic world. And the Rambam is basically saying, number one, I think that those other descriptions of what the nature of people or the nature of the world is going to look like in the Messianic era. Number one, I think that they're all metaphors. And number two is that it's unconcerning to me, because that's not the thing that we're most looking forward to about the Messianic era anyway. But then comes along the Ramban. And the Ramban, commenting on what the Torah says, Be'eshafti chayarab in ha'aretz, that God is going to remove all wild beasts from the land of Israel. All dangerous animals are just going to leave. Anything that's undomesticated is just going to leave the land of Israel. That sounds like it's a major change in the natural course of things, right? If snakes and scorpions and cats and all these other animals had created their habitats within the ecosystem of Israel, to just pick up and leave sounds like it's a supernatural phenomenon that's taking place. So the Ramban says, yes, there is going to be this supernatural phenomenon. Number one, as I already pointed out, that people are not even going to have a Yetzer Hara anymore, which means that we're only going to do the right thing. Included in the right thing is going to be, we're going to do all of the mitzvot, hataluya ba'aretz, that all of the mitzvot that have to do with the land of Israel, we are going to be adhering to. And that the entire Jewish people are going to once and again inhabit the land of Israel, all going to live in the land of Israel, says the Ramban. That means that there's not going to be any more room for the wild animals. So God is going to have to create this. He's going to have to put a signal into their brains that says, your habitat is no longer in the land of Israel. You now have to find new habitat why don't you guys all go to Iran or something, right? And this phenomenon is going to take place. That's what he writes. He says, yeah, he said, right, the wild animals are already there. He says, hu kapshuto, I'm going to read this in its most simple way to read this. I'm not going to let my rationalistic finite mind guide me? Read this from in the most plain, basic way I could read the pasuk. Shelo yavo chayos ra'os ba'aretzam. That there's not going to be any more undomesticated animals living in the land of Israel. Kibios hasova ubirchos hatovos, that we're going to ubirchos hatova yos harim maleos adam, that since we are going to all inhabit, we're going to fill up the land of Israel, lo tichna chayos, there's not going to be any room for the animals biyishuv to live there. V'unachom, and I believe that this is correct. Kitier Eretz Yisrael be'es kiyum ha-mitzvos. We're going to all fulfill the mitzvah of living in the land of Israel. Kasher haya ha'olam mitchilaso. And what's going to happen in the land of Israel? It's going to be like the way it was in Gan Eden. It's going to be like the way it was when Adam and Chava were first in the Garden of Eden. Whatever that experience was like, that is the way it's going to be for the Jewish people in the land of Israel. Mitchilaso kodem cheto shel Adam Harishon, before the first sin of Adam Harishon, meaning not going to be Yetzahara, we already spoke about that. And how did Adam and Chava live with the animals? All the animals were domesticated, right? Adam ruled over the other animals. There was the humans were just inhabiting the land, and the other animals just gave room to them, right? There's no such thing as, you know, you go on an African safari, you don't have to worry about an elephant charging at you. The elephants would move away for you. That's the way it was for Adam and Chava. That's the way it's going to be for us as well during Yemos HaMashiach. In Chaya v'remez meimit Adam, no animal, no wild animal, no poisonous snake or scorpion is going to harm a person. That is a supernatural phenomenon. So again, this is basically just the Rambam and the Ramban really coming from each keeping within their own party lines as to what the Messianic era is going to look like, where the Rambam says that it's going to be natural, normal, regular life, except for what our governing body is going to look like, which is going to be that according to the Torah. But otherwise, humans are going to be the same. Animals are going to be the same. The way the world functions is going to be the same, except we're going to have this incredible wisdom and clarity. On the other hand, the Ramban is saying that's not the case at all, that it's going to be, as Harriet pointed out, all the trash is going to be getting rid of. We're not going to have a Yetzer Hara, the war, poverty, our own human desire, all those things are going to just go away. And even the way that the animal world functions is that we're once again going to, they're going to once again give way to humans. Humans are not going to feel threatened at all from wild animals, poisonous animals, snakes, scorpions, and the like. We're not going to have to worry about any of that. And there's going to be this supernatural phenomenon that takes place. And it really does speak volumes and this is really a side point, but you can't help but talk about it in this context. It really does speak volumes to the general philosophy of the Rambam as opposed to the general philosophy of the Ramban. This is really why the Rambam's works were controversial, that like the Mor Nevuchim ended up being controversial, was this rationalistic perspective that the Rambam had. The Ramban himself is taking issue to it. Now, when the Ramban, the greatest Jewish philosopher to ever live, in his era, after the Rambam already is passed, says something like that, that's why you have people like his cousin, the Rabbeinu Yonah, who wrote the Shari Tshuva, being involved in things like the burning of the Rambam's books, right? Because it was really frightening to have these works of that could potentially dilute Judaism being presented. Now, we have since accepted the Rambam, knowing that these are legitimate ways of looking at the Torah and these philosophic topics. But this is a good case study where you could see how the Rambam and the Ramban are disagreeing from this fundamental perspective as to, do we read in behind the lines of the Torah when it comes to these topics? When the Torah says, Mal Hashem Elkeches, Levav Taves, Levav Zaracha, Hashem's going to remove the foreskin of our hearts. The Rambam would say, yeah, we're going to have clarity to do the right thing. We're going to go through a teshuva process. We're going to then be left with this amazing clarity. The Ramban is saying, no, that means God is going to do the teshuva for us. What does that even mean? How do you even call that teshuva? We have to figure out how to answer that question. But I'm not going to deviate from what it says in the Torah. That's what it says. And that means that we're not going to have Yitzhar anymore during the Messianic era. What does that mean? I don't know. We have to figure it out. But I'm not going to deviate from what it says in the Torah. And Torah says that all wild animals are going to leave. There's going to be a supernatural phenomenon. We're going to not have to worry about wild animals anymore. The Rambam's saying, these are all just parables, metaphors. The wolf is sleeping with the lamb. All it's all just metaphors. The Ramban is saying, no, those are not metaphors. We have to take what the Torah says literally. And now it's up to us how we are supposed to understand that, given the fact that our natural inclination is to give in to our logic and common sense and rationalistic minds that we're used to using in other areas. We have to kind of put that aside and try and figure this out through the lens of the Torah. So you see these two fundamental approaches from the Rambam and the Rambam coming out specifically by this. So what will the Messianic era look like? I guess we'll have to wait and find out. They both sound pretty good, whether it's the Rambam or the Ramban. We know that it's going to be amazing. I guess we'll have to see who was right. Who was right? Okay, we'll stop here for now. All right.
Shkoch. Yeah, a huge concentration of people who live in the area, the wild animals.